Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 210 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, I'm going to call this one the sporting issue because I want to talk about sports. There's some interesting stuff going on. I know that we're still dealing with the aftermath of the Parkland shooting, and I'll even talk about that in relation to sports. I know Donald Trump said that if he were there, he would have ran in unarmed. Do you really need my help with that? Can you not fill in your own jokes about what bullshit that is? Yes, there were some deputies apparently armed outside who didn't go running in. Kind of pokes a hole into the whole good guy with a gun theory. But again, that's not, we're rehashing the same old, same old. Some corporations, Delta, United, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and a few others are taking away discounts that were given to NRA members. I didn't know they were giving discounts to NRA members. But anyway, that's that. So I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not doing a show about that. I'm doing a show about sports because as we enter March, we know if you're any kind of a sports fan, if you have a TV, if you read a newspaper, if you listen to the radio, you know there's a thing called March Madness, the NCAA College Basketball Championship Tournament. It is one of the biggest events in sports. It has $1 billion, that's billion with a B, dollar TV contract, not to mention who knows how much money is being pumped in by Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, etc., etc., etc. And the players get nothing. The players get nothing. I'll say it again, the players get nothing. So, big scandal this week. Big news this week. The FBI has been wiretapping some college sports and recruiting, etc., etc. And Sean Miller, the coach of University of Arizona, a college basketball powerhouse, was caught on tape talking to an agent about how to funnel $100,000 to a player, to a recruit. There's also tapes of agents taking players and families out to dinner, arranging money, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we knew it. There's nothing to see here. No news. Everybody knew this was going on. The hypocrisy in every level of this is unbelievable. From the reporters to the people, the coaches, and a bunch of hypocrites. Listen, you are making $1 billion off of these kids. College football, you make millions off of these kids. Now, some people who might know a little bit about this have interesting opinions. For instance, LeBron James. Now, LeBron James didn't play college basketball. When LeBron James went pro, you could go from high school to the NBA. And he simply says the NCAA is corrupt. It can't be fixed. We know that. It's corrupt. When they talk about student athletes, he says they're not talking about student athletes. When they say you get a free college education, they're not interested in your education. They weren't recruiting this guy to Arizona to give him a good education. They're recruiting you to win championships. They're recruiting you to go to the Final Four. Stan Van Gundy, coach of the Detroit Pistons, another one. He said that the one-and-done rule is racial. Now, what he's talking about is when the NBA said high school players could no longer go straight to the NBA, they had to spend 1 year in college or be a year. Their high school graduating class had to be a year out of high school. In football, I believe it's 2 years. You have to be 2 years. In other words, you may not complete 2 years of college, but your high school graduating class has to be 2 years out of college before you can go to the NFL. So Stan Van Gundy says, hey, this is racial because basketball and football are two sports dominated by black people, dominated by African Americans. Now, baseball doesn't have this rule. You can play you can go straight to the major leagues if you were good enough. Not many are going to be good enough at 18, but you can definitely be drafted into baseball and go to the minor leagues out of high school. Hockey, you don't even have to finish school. You play junior hockey. And I'm not knocking that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. But let's stop this artificial bullshit about the NCAA and student athletes and getting a college education when no one cares about them getting a college education. Even college coaches like Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, one of the greatest coaches of all time, and it physically hurts me to say that because I so don't like Duke, but he is. And even he has adopted the one-and-done strategy. He recruits players who are coming in for 1 year to help Duke win, and then they're going pro. Of course, the master of that strategy is John Calipari over at Kentucky, who Calipari would get mad at you if you didn't go pro. I don't think Calipari wants you around there for more than 1 year. But he's had numerous superstars come through there, play college basketball for 1 year, win national championships, go to the Final Four, and make millions of dollars for him and the school. Multi-million dollar shoe contracts. Who gets those? The coaches? The coaches get multi-million dollar shoe contracts. Who gets the money? 10 years ago, I don't even know what the money is now, but 10 years ago, I read that when a school goes to the Rose Bowl, each school gets $15 million. Now, that's just for that game, okay? Those players get nothing. Football players, man, if you think basketball players get screwed, football players, you're a college football player. You carry your team to a bowl game or national championship or into the college football playoff. By the way, there's a playoff system, okay? How pro is that? How professional is that they had to set up a playoff system to win the national championship? But this is amateur. We don't care about that. We care about their education. Yeah, bullshit. But anyway, you blow out your ankle, you can't play again. Sorry. Thanks for coming by. Hope you get by with your 2 year education that you played for. Bullshit. Did you know, and I did not know this, but I know it now, that college scholarships are not guaranteed to these players? It's not a 4 year scholarship. Every year, you're given the scholarship every year. So they could pull it. They don't usually, but they could. And here's the other thing, and this is the part. It's really bullshit, really hypocritical. The commentators, the announcers, every announcer you hear on ESPN or Fox News or whatever your local sports talk radio is that's talking about this is making money off of college basketball. He or she is getting paid to talk about people not getting paid in college basketball. They're all making money. They're all making money. They're all making money off college football. Look at the college football industry. Are you kidding me? The jerseys? Let's look at the jerseys, okay? Let's look at Terrell Pryor, who a few years ago got in trouble for them for trading his college jerseys with, I believe, tattoo artists to get some ink done and some other things because he didn't have any money. So he traded a jersey. And he got in trouble for it, and they suspended him from professional football for doing this in college. But you know who sold his jersey? The school. The school. You could go to the bookstore and buy his jersey, so the school made money off his jersey, but he couldn't. This is what Lonzo Ball's dad is talking about why he doesn't want his kids to play college sports. And although he's brash and loud and annoying as hell, I back him up on what he's saying. Why should the NCAA profit off my kids' talent? Why should these schools profit off my kids' talent? Let me sell the sneakers. Let me sell the T-shirts, etc., etc. The man's got a good point. I don't agree with his way of going about it, but he's right. Now, there are others. Bill Walton, who chafes me for numerous reasons, says, and I have to laugh because it's such sanctimonious bullshit. Okay, Bill Walton is disgusted by Arizona and says, I wish I were out riding my bike up a mountain instead of being here announcing a game. So quit, Bill. If you're so offended by college basketball, quit. Oh, yeah, that's right. You make a lot of money off of college basketball. I forgot about that. Are you really? Are you really that offended? You should have millions of dollars from your basketball career, from your NBA career, from the years you've been an announcer, from whatever else, however else you make money, you should have millions. If you're truly disgusted, if it truly bothers you so much to announce a college basketball game, why don't you quit? Yeah, you hear that silence? That's the sound of Bill Walton not giving up the money. One of the best, and South Park is always brilliant, but there was one episode where Cartman was a college president, and he talked to another college president, and he said, how do you keep your slaves happy? Or, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, they were like, slaves? Yeah, you know, the players who play sports for free so you can make all the money. I mean, this is such bullshit. Listen. College athletes should be paid, okay? Elite college athletes in money-making sports, which is basketball and football. When's the last time you saw a college baseball game? When's the last time you saw a college hockey game? Not in prime time, not on a major network, but you will see basketball and football. Those sports support every other sport at the school. How do you think they pay for the water polo team? How do you think they pay for the fencing program? And I'm not knocking water polo or fencing. Good for them. Good for them. But make no mistake, it's paid for by the basketball players and the football players. So why shouldn't they get paid? Now, we have to come up with a formula. Yeah, you got to work at it. And some say, make it wide open. Make it wide open. Let the agents in and let these players play for the highest bidder. And one ridiculous argument I heard said, well, if we put money in it, then only the biggest schools will get the best players. What? Right now, only the biggest schools get the best players. Where do the best players go? They go to Michigan. They go to North Carolina. They go to Ohio State. They go to Florida. They go to Arizona. They go to UCLA. They go to Notre Dame. They go to schools you've heard of. Why do you hear of these schools? Because they recruit the best players and built giant, powerful athletic programs. This is such bullshit. This is such bullshit. So nothing will happen. This is one thing it has in common with the gun issue. The NCAA will remain in control, and they will divide up the money between the colleges and the college presidents and the coaches, etc., etc. And the sports apparel companies will have to play the game. I'm sure if it were up to them, they would give money to the AAU players. They would give money. And now there's talk about the NBA G League, which is supposed to be the development league, supposed to be the league where you go if you're not college material, meaning you don't have good enough grades or you don't know how to fake good enough grades. Hi, Kentucky, to get into school, you play in this league. The only problem is because it's an NBA league, you still have that 1 year after college thing to go through. Or you can go to Europe and be a kid playing in a different country, speaking a different language, living in a different culture amongst men. Probably not the best option for a lot of these kids. What's the best option for a lot of these kids? Stop the corruption. Imagine, and it won't happen, but imagine if college basketball players refuse to play next month. What if they said, you know what, we're all going to skip the tournament? Wow. Would that bring about change? I think so. They're not going to do it, and they're not in a position to do it. I'm not expecting them to do it for numerous reasons. But as some have said, by some I mean President Barack Obama, when you have kids that come from an unimaginably poor background, and they're in this big time sport and they're watching all this money be made, how can you blame them for being tempted? And how can we not figure out a system to give them some? The NCAA system, this amateur athletic dream, is outmoded. The Olympics stopped doing it. The Olympics stopped pretending it's amateur. And I'm going to talk about the Olympics in a while because the Winter Olympics are done, and I love the Olympics. You know that. But anyway, yeah, it stopped pretending that big-time college sports is in any way an amateur event. You know when it stopped being amateur? At the $1 billion mark. That's pretty much pro. $1 billion. Are you kidding me? Okay, and now that that's done, how about the Olympians? Man, I love the Olympics. I didn't get to see a lot of the Winter Olympics because I was working on the ships and we didn't have the TV access, but I love the sports that we don't see. The skiers and snowboarders with the jumps and the tricks are absolutely amazing. I don't understand figure skating. I don't like sports that are judged, but they're athletes, and what they do on that ice is amazing, and people love it. It's the most popular thing to watch, and it is beautiful. Speed skaters, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know how hard that is to do, to skate that fast? Cross-country skiing. The U.S. women won a gold medal in cross-country skiing. I was watching it. Skiing uphill? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine what kind of athlete you have to be? Can you imagine the cardio you have to basically run up a hill in skis? What? Insane. So kudos to all of them. Every Olympian. The amazing thing about the Olympics is you work all of this and you get one shot every 4 years to win that medal. So I've been lucky enough to have met some Olympic medalists at a bicycle show I used to do. It blew me away. It was funny to me how people kind of took it for granted, but that's because a lot of people at the event were elite, world-class athletes. But still, you won an Olympic medal. You, man. Now, in particular, surprise wins for the United States, women's hockey. The women's hockey team beat the Canadians. In any hockey tournament, on any level, on any ice, Canadians have to be the favorite. It is their national sport, bordering on their national religion. I've been up there. They love hockey. I love how much they love hockey. So kudos to the American women for winning hockey. And curling. The U.S. men won in curling. What the hell is curling? Nobody knows. That's the beauty of winning. They won in a sport we don't know. This is what I know about curling, that you slide a stone. The things are called stones, and you have the brooms. What is the object? How do you know, when do you know whether to knock the other stone out of the circles or stop it in the circle? I don't know. I do love the fact that they yell out the strategy while they're playing. I don't know any other sport that does that, where you're yelling out the strategy while you're playing. Who cares if the other team is it? The other thing I love, take a look at the American curling team. Not exactly elite athletes. You look at the Swedish team that they played against. These guys look like some kind of sculpted models out of a Swedish catalog. The American guys look like bowlers. They look like they were bowling, and then they said, hey, if you do this on ice, you can win a gold medal. And they said, all right, we'll give it a shot. I'm joking about that, but I'm joking about it with no disrespect. They won gold. That's amazing. So kudos to them. It was, I'd say the Olympics were a success. I can't go into detail about them because, like I said, I didn't get to see all of it. But everything I saw, I enjoyed. And you know, bobsledding, I love bobsledding. You know, I got that joke. I tell women I played on, I played, that I was one of the members of the 1988 bobsled team, because who the hell knows? Guess I'm blowing my story right now. And the luge, you're going 90 miles an hour. You don't even see where you're going. You're just going down. Amazing. You're a missile. You're literally just, you lay down there and they're like, you're going to be a missile for the next minute. And they just shove you down this ice track. That is amazing. So good for them. Good for all the Olympians and what they did. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. Now, let's get to the shitty part. Why? Because there's always a shitty part. You know that. First of all, to all the trolls that attacked Lindsey Vonn for not winning gold, fuck off. Okay, Lindsey Vonn, if you don't know, is our greatest woman's downhill skier of all time, best American of all time. And Lindsey Vonn spoke out back in December. She said, I am going to represent the United States. I'm not going there to represent the president. She doesn't like President Trump. And she said if she won gold, she wasn't going to go meet President Trump. So good for her. So she won bronze in one event. She didn't meddle in her other two events, and the Trump trolls jumped all over it. Well, you didn't win because you don't respect the president. Blah, 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 blah. So here's the thing. This is, I guess, part of making America great again. You're not allowed to criticize. Let me see. You're not allowed to criticize the leader of the government. Somehow, that sounds a little communist or dictatorship. That doesn't really sound like America, a democracy where you're allowed a voice. Doesn't much sound like America to me. Some bitch making America great again by keeping quiet all the detractors. Lindsey Vonn, you are amazing. You are amazing. Kudos to you, and thank you for your Olympic career and all you've done in the name of the United States. You represented your country beautifully. And you know what? A big part of our country is dissent. A big part of our country is not liking the leaders. And a big part of it is speaking out. So good for you, Lindsey Vonn. Now, speaking of speaking out, Laura Ingraham, you probably heard about this reporter from Fox News who told LeBron when he talked about Donald Trump and how bad a president Donald Trump is, she said, shut up and dribble. Well, no, LeBron doesn't have to shut up and dribble. And no one said it better than Greg Popovich, the most woke man, if not just the most woke man in sports, might be the most woke white man walking around America. I mean, Pop is on it, okay? So what Greg Popovich said is that, no, LeBron James doesn't have to shut up and dribble. LeBron James is very special. Just some of what he said. When I heard about the Fox News reporter, it was an unbelievable show of arrogance for a talking head to try to tell someone else if they could speak, what they can speak about, when and where to do it. It is just ludicrous. Okay? To not have a feel for this guy, he's talking about LeBron, who, I mean, think about it when he came into public view. How young was he? He was 18. To this day, he hasn't missed a step. He hasn't fallen off the edge. He's been a brilliant example to millions of kids, especially kids of lesser opportunities who don't have the advantages of others. They see someone in this guy who exhibited excellence in the workplace. It gives them a voice, etc., etc., etc. As a coach, as a plumber, as an astrophysicist, as a lowly reporter, like how he threw that in, as a lowly reporter, I can have whatever opinions I want, and that's what's amazing about when you look at this guy. So, LeBron, he closed it. He's very, very special, and we should all be very proud that we have somebody like that who's willing to speak about a variety of topics. No, LeBron doesn't have to shut up and dribble, Laura. What's interesting is you probably didn't tell Curt Schilling, a right winger, to shut up and pitch. How about that? Yeah, LeBron has a voice. And Dwayne Wade, and how's this for something that will rip your heart out, okay? One of the Park Lane shooting victims, a young man named Joaquin Oliver, was laid to rest in Dwayne Wade's jersey. And Dwayne Wade said, that's why I won't shut up and dribble. So to Laura Ingraham, I say, fuck off. Fuck off, Laura Ingraham. And kudos to these men who will not shut up and dribble or shut up and pitch or shut up and run or shut up and jump or shut up and catch or do whatever they do. They're entitled to a voice and millions of people are listening to them. And good for them for risking their brand, as they say, to speak out and give their opinion. Now, how about people who are... No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say there's another side to this. Lauren Gibbs, a black woman who was a silver medalist in the women's bobsled, two women bobsled, I'm going to say she got caught up, okay? I don't know this woman, and I think I have nothing but respect for her, and I have no doubt she is a fantastic person simply based on the action she took. So she got caught up by Ivanka Trump. Ivanka Trump was at the Olympics. Ivanka Trump took a picture wearing Lauren's silver medal. Lauren posted a selfie with Ivanka, and Lauren said basically that we don't have to agree to get along, and posted the picture. The trolls came out, a lot of hate on both sides against Lauren for posting this picture, for Ivanka posing with her medal, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't agree with that. She took down the selfie, and I understand that. She said there was a lot of hate on both sides of the issue. But what bothers me is, why is it the black person always has to take the high road? Or not even necessarily the black person, the minority, the oppressed person has to take the high road. Listen, Ivanka Trump doesn't give a shit about Lauren Gibbs. Ivanka Trump is taking a picture with this black woman bobsledder so that one day she can, something will come up and she can pull out a picture of her black friend, right? Or pretend to give a shit. She doesn't give a shit. Okay, but Lauren Gibbs has to take the high road on this. I mean, she's caught up. She's right next to her at the Olympics, at an event. She can't just pull her medal away. She can't just walk away, and she shouldn't have to. She earned the right to be there. Okay, Ivanka Trump didn't earn the right to be there, which was pointed out by another Olympian at the closing ceremonies. Nice shot. But anyway, Lauren Gibbs earned her right to be there. She earned her medal. Ivanka Trump, if it were somebody else, if it was someone less controversial, if it was somebody whose father wasn't a piece of shit, then it would be okay. You know what I mean? If it was Jennifer Lawrence, the actress, or I don't know, a singer, something, they pose with your medal and they're at the Olympics partying and having a good time, that's cool. If Ivanka Trump just happened to be the daughter of the president, even that would be okay. But no, she's a member of the White House staff. So she has an official job in the administration. She's part of it. It's taking advantage of Ms. Gibbs. I have the utmost respect for her as a person, as an Olympian, and for taking the high road in this one. It sucks, all the haters who attacked her. I'm not going to go through those tweets. I'm not going to give any publicity to anybody who was hating on this woman. She was put in a shitty position, and she made the best of it. And I just think it's a damn shame that she had to, but that's how it works. Speaking of being put in a shitty position, and I love how this guy is handling James Wallace is the first African-American NASCAR driver since Wendell Scott in 1971. He was the first driver in the Daytona, black driver in the Daytona 500 since 1969, and he came in second. And I'm sorry, I said Jay, I meant Darrell Wallace Jr. His name's Darrell Wallace Jr., correction. He goes by the name Bubba Wallace, which really fits in NASCAR. And he says, he tweeted before the season started, "There is only one driver from an African-American background at the top level of our sport, and I am the one." You're not going to stop hearing about the black driver. He put in quotes, quote, the black driver for years. Embrace it, accept it, and enjoy the journey. He said that the first 20 seconds of no need to waste the first 20 seconds of every interview responding to this black driver thing and saying it's annoying, et cetera, et cetera. Again, taking the high road, and kudos to him. I personally, I'm torn on this one. I love the idea of Bubba Wallace. I have utmost respect for him. I have no doubt that not only is he a good driver, he's a great driver. You know how I know he's a great driver? Because he's the first black driver. Do you know how much better you have to be the first black anything? Going back to Jackie Robinson. Look how great Jackie Robinson walked in, rookie of the year, led the team to win a World Series. Barack Obama, first black president. Yeah, really? You don't think Barack Obama was a great president? Okay, let's look at when he got elected. Oh, welcome to the office, Mr. Obama. Here's a broken economy. Unemployment's up. The banks are corrupt and a mess. We got two wars going. Go. Yeah, and he pulled us out of that. Not to mention the whole Bin Laden thing. So yeah, a great president. You want me to continue? Gabby Douglas, gold medal Olympian, which led to Simone Biles, an even better gold medal gymnast. The Williams sisters, hello, the Williams sisters, yes, If you're the first black one, you have to be better. So I have no doubt that Bubba Wallace is a great driver, but I can't support NASCAR, not yet. I can't. They still have their Confederate flags. They're still proud and look on to their racism with a wink and a nod, and I don't know that I can support that. Now, you may call me hypocritical, because if you've listened to me at all, you know I love Lewis Hamilton, who happens to be the only black driver in Formula One. But they have a different name for Lewis Hamilton. They call him world champion, four-time world champion. They call him the best driver there is. Many call him best there is. Some say he may be proved to be the greatest of all time. I don't know. But what I don't see are rebel flags at Formula One races, okay? I'm sure there's a racist element that still resents him being there, but you don't hear it, you don't see it, and you won't feel it walking around. I promise you, you walk around a NASCAR race, you're going to know it. So, Bubba Wallace, I'm not sure how to deal with this. I wish I were my friend BT. And please, check online. Just look up BT. He's a comic. And BT, I love him. And he's all in on NASCAR. He was all in on NASCAR before this. If things are racing, BT's in. So I'm sure he's ecstatic, and he would be doing backflips over this. But he just had hip surgery. He can't do backflips after he just had hip surgery. So I salute Bubba Wallace. I support Bubba Wallace. I wish Bubba Wallace the best, and I hope he kicks ass all through the series. Coming in second at Daytona, the biggest race, is pretty much kicking ass. But I don't know how to support that without supporting NASCAR, which I can't comfortably support. So maybe I'm a hypocrite. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe this is just some of my personal demons, but I still think that Mr. Wallace is the most badass guy, and the fact that he said, yeah, call me the first black driver, get over it, I'm here, I'm doing my thing, I love this, I've lived all my life with this dream, and now I'm doing it, man, good for you. Yeah, yeah. Don't shut up and drive, Mr. Wallace. Just drive. That's it this week, right now, and through the weekend. I will be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club here at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Next week, I'm going to be back on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and I'm loving it. It's good to be back on dry land, although I'll be going back out to sea soon enough. I love you guys for listening. Thank you. Thank you for the support of my podcast. Do me a favor. Tell someone about me. I could use it. I could use the build up a little bit. I'm going to give a shout out to the All Things Comedy Network for having me on. This network's run by Bill Burr and Al Madrigal, two old friends and two brilliant and great comics. So thanks for letting me be a part of this. I love what I do, and I love you guys for letting me and helping me and supporting me in doing it. Have a great week. Keep paying attention. And yeah, we'll get back to Trump bullshit next week. He would have rushed into the building. Yeah, right. He couldn't run into a building where there's a shooting going on because, you know, he got those bone spurs.